Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam and mothers, sisters that are listening at home, Alhamdulillah, we are in the month, the blessed month of Muharram. In the month of Muharram, Alhamdulillah, throughout the world, you will find lectures that are given and people are quite well informed that in this month, the 10th of Muharram, the grandson of our beloved Nabi Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an became shaheed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status. And we see the qurbani, the sacrifice that comes from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we must also remember that there is also another shahadat, martyrdom in the month of Muharram, and that is also of a very special, unique Sahabi. In fact, his relation to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he is the father-in-law to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Alhamdulillah, our masjid is named after Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. I remember when the masjid was being built, the committee here had, I believe it was like a box somewhere that was put, and they were asking the community that what name should we give this masjid. And I also had something in mind, but when I went, that box was removed. So I felt really upset. And in my mind, at that time I was not even appointed as an imam here. But it was our local masjid. And I felt that the name that should be given to this name should be after Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And I was so happy when the name that was selected for this beautiful masjid was after this great personality, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. And so alhamdulillah, in Leicester we are quite fortunate. We have Masjid Abu Bakr, we have Masjid Umar, we have Masjid Uthman also, the markaz that is there. And we have of course Masjid Ali, and we have Masjid Imam Bukhari, we have Masjid Fatima to Zahra, and all the beautiful names, alhamdulillah. And we should name our masajid after these great individuals who are the foundation to the framework of Islam. Very, very important. When I was in Portugal, and there was this very beautiful masjid. And in Portugal, the setup of the houses is that people live in flats. So in between the flats, you had this beautiful building. purpose-built masjid. And I remember in the early 90s, the name that was given to this masjid was a local name, which was Mashkita Odivelas. So some of our listeners right now that are in Portugal listening, they will be very happy to hear this, mashallah. We have a good crowd in Portugal that listens also to the bayan. And so it was Mashkita Odivelas. And I was really uncomfortable with that name. But sometimes to tackle the committee is quite difficult. But alhamdulillah, slowly after a few months, I said to them that, you know, why Mashkita Odivelas? Why? Odivelas is the area, the name of that area, and Mashkita is Portuguese, that means a mosque. So I said, we need to make some amendments and a few changes. So I gave them the name and I said, I want to name this masjid, Masjid Aisha Siddiqa. Masjid Aisha Siddiqa, number one. Number two, under the masjid, I want the translation of the kalima, like how I tell you to translate. And so that is going to be translated in Portuguese. Because at that time, in Portugal, you had this very strong network of Qadianis that were working. So I said, you put the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, right in the front of the masjid. And then you do the translation, none is worthy of worship except for Allah. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his final messenger. This is the translation I want. So why final messenger? This way, alhamdulillah, we understand our aqaid, that he is the final messenger. And then I said, underneath that also, I want you to write down Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. So these are the three things that I want. So very kindly, mashallah, the committee that was there, Marhum Tayyab Wareen Saab, Allah gave him Jannatul Firdaus, a man who worked very hard for the community. And so the name, the masjid was named after our mother, Hazrat Aisha, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And it had Ayatul Kursi, this beautiful calligraphy in Arabic that was written by Khattat, one of our Pakistani brothers that was there at that time. And he, mashallah, was a master in Arabic calligraphy. So we told him that we want you to write Ayatul Kursi. So he wrote Ayatul Kursi and then Masjid Aisha. And such a lovely masjid, alhamdulillah, until today that name of Masjid Aisha Siddiqa is in this territory which we know once as Andalusia, Portugal. Now, of course, Portugal is not a very huge country, and we had a lot of reporters and from the media, people would come, and obviously I was not speaking Portuguese as fluently as they would, but they would want to meet the Imam. And many a times the first thing they ask you is, does Islam give rights to women? No, that's all they know. That's all they know. I was just listening to the radio, and unfortunately, of course, in Afghanistan, you need someone who represents the Taliban in a way that he is also well versed in the English language. You need that now because of how the world is. And you'll find that the BBC and the media outlets that are there, they have a knack and they know what to question you and how to trap you. So all they will ask you is, oh, nothing about politics of Afghanistan. The first thing is, oh, can women go shopping alone? Can women go shopping alone? And what is the punishment for someone who does zina? That's all they know. Only a few things. That's all. Very sad. And you really need to give them the right answer. So anyway, I remember once this reporter came to me and said to me that, does Islam give rights to women? So he was inside the masjid. I says, I don't want to answer your question in the mosque. So he said, why? I said, there's a reason. I will answer your question outside the mosque, outside the masjid. And I don't even like the name mosque. Because it's not a mosque, it's not mashkita, it's masjid. It's an Arabic word. And masjid means a place where the worshippers gather to do sajda. Masjid ka mana, sajda karne ki jaga. And khair, they came out and they wanted to do a recording. So I said, can you read the name of this masjid? So the person looked up and it said, Mashkita Aisha Siddiqa. I said, yes. I said, do you know who Aisha is? So he said, no. I said, what was your question? That do we give rights to women? We have named our masjid here after a woman. We have named this masjid who is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this woman is considered to be such a powerful woman that 2/3 of Islam that we receive is from a woman. And you are asking me that does Islam give rights to women? Does that make sense? Why would I want to name this masjid after a woman if there was any kind of restrictions that was imposed by the Sharia? So he really understood. 2/3, I said, yes, 2/3 of Islam we receive from a woman. And let me tell you, the very first person to accept Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a woman, Bibi Khadija, Khadijatul Kubra. And so anyway, alhamdulillah, we explained to him and they understood that no, alhamdulillah. And so alhamdulillah, we should always give the right answers in the right way, with knowledge, with hikmat. It's very, very important. So that they also understand. People, alhamdulillah, Allah has given them the mind. When you speak to them, when they understand, alhamdulillah, there is khair. They will always understand. Just like today in radio, a man whose name is Gary was being interviewed, a soldier that fought in Iraq and also fought in Afghanistan. And he said something amazing. As a soldier fighting in Afghanistan, he said, I have a lot of respect for the Taliban. So the host was shocked. You mean to say you've got respect for them? He goes, yeah. And he says, why do you have respect for them? He says, look, like we have an agenda and we think what we are doing is right, they also have a right and they have an agenda and they think what they are doing in their country is right. So, alhamdulillah, my respected brothers, oh, I've drifted away in another direction. One Sahabi who was martyred in the month of Muharram, this great Sahabi whose name is Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala an. What makes him very unique, why is he so special, is that he is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is amazing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam exclusively made dua for the iman of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. One is the general dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that may Allah give hidayah to everyone. But for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to select from the people of Makkah an individual. And to say, oh Allah, give honor to Islam by this man, Umar ibn al-Khattab, that speaks volumes. That is huge. That Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for Umar ibn al-Khattab. That is why he is very, very special. And ulama have mentioned that why from all of the people of Makkah, why was he selected? What was so special about Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an? Scholars have mentioned that Hazrat Umar had one very incredible quality feature in him, that he was always searching for the truth. Always searching for the, even when he was not a Muslim, you will find some people that divinely in their nature, in their innate condition, are people of good character. People of good character. Sound intuition. Naturally a man of good character, looking for the truth, searching for the truth. That is who Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was. And the proof of that is a very famous dua which is directed to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. That these are the words. It is not a hadith actually. It is the words that were read by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an during his lifetime. A lot of the times he would make this dua. And he would make this dua, he would say, Allahumma arinil haqqa haqqa wa waffiqni tiba'a wa waffiqni tiba'a. One narration is this, wa waffiqni tiba'a wa arinil batila batila wa waffiqni ijtinaba. That, oh my Allah, show me the truth to be the truth and enable me to accept the truth. See, this is a great ni'mah. A lot of people understand what is right. But understanding what is right is not enough. Accepting the truth is very important. And he says, oh Allah, show me that which is wrong, false, to be false, and give me the capacity, ya Allah, that I accept something wrong to be wrong. And his nature, how he was, very brave, very truthful, a man always accepting haqq. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah gave him the eyes, Allah gave him the heart. And when he would scan through Arabia and he knew everyone how people were, this gem that was in front of him, he could see Umar ibn al-Khattab, the potential that is in him. And in the very early days, he started making dua that, my Allah, give me Umar ibn al-Khattab. Give me Umar ibn al-Khattab. And this dua and this wish was granted for our beloved Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in his nature, that is why you will find a lot of the people who are quite neutral in this dunya, and who are in search for the truth, 99.99 times Allah will give them Islam. Islam will be given to them. When a person is a true seeker and says, who has created this dunya and I want to see the truth and he is not yet a Muslim, Allah will always pull him and Allah will always give him hidayah. Generally, you will see that. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has also mentioned that man kana qablakum muhaddathun, man kana fi man qablakum muhaddathun, that before you in the other communities were people who were muhaddathun. Muhaddathun means they were spoken to. They were spoken to. What does muhaddath mean, spoken to? It means that the angels spoke to them. The angels spoke to them. And when you have in your heart this feeling, this intuition, and you feel that this is the right decision for me. Sometimes it is from Allah, sometimes it is the malaika that touch you, and guidance is given to you. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, in my ummah, the muhaddath is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. That he speaks the truth. Whatever he says is the truth. Allah has put haq upon the tongue of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. And that is why you will see some of his khutbahs are quite amazing. On one occasion he said that the most superior individual, the most superior and the most intelligent individual in this dunya is that person who has taken control of three things. Number one, Hufiza min al-hawa, who has taken control of his base desire. A man who takes control of his desire, he does not let loose his desire that whatever Shaitan tells him to do, that this is the gunah you must do, you do it. Unfortunately, what happens, my respected brothers, just to slightly sidetrack also, is that this is a ni'mah that Allah has explained to the people of Iman, that Shaitan has this power and will do waswasa inside you, and he has the ability to insert in you the wrong thoughts. In a case for that person who is not a Muslim, he does not even believe that. If you tell him about the waswasa of shaitan, a person who has no iman, he will think that you are talking rubbish. What are you talking about? What waswasa and who is filling my ears? No, it's my own decision. But what he doesn't realize, that what is in your mind and what you are thinking and what is your belief is totally wrong, because shaitan is putting this in your heart, putting this in your mind. But they don't have the advantage of understanding this. We the people of Iman have this. So we understand that this is also a waswasa. So a person should take control of his base desire. Number two, a person should take control of greed. Greed is dangerous. Greed opens the door of haram. How many times you will find inheritance? One from the siblings will take everything that belongs to the father and he says, this is my ownership, I take, belongs to me. He will deprive the other brothers and sisters. Sometimes you will find that the uncle will take away everything and will deprive the siblings and the children. And it's very funny. If the children go and say, uncle, chacha, ye hamara haq hai. So the chacha will say, you have no respect for your uncle. Come on. See how shaitan works. You have no respect for your uncle. Is this, you love money more than your uncle? You are sitting on unlawful wealth. You are sitting on unlawful wealth. You are doing chori, depriving the heirs, the people to whom this wealth also belongs, and Sharia demands you that you should be doing taqseem of it. And you are blackmailing him and saying, how dare you speak to me like that? How dare you speak to me like that? Subhanallah. I'm the uncle. Go away. I know what to do. And he knows what to do. He's not going to give it to you at all. Greed. What is it? Greed. Allah save us. What is the use that you pray namaz and you recite the Quran and you outwardly give a picture of piety, but you don't have the manners and the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So all of these things, greed, he said, Hazrat Umar. And then number three, he said, anger. A person who takes control of his base desire, a person who takes control of greed, and a person who takes control of his anger, if these three things are in control, that person is the best individual. And these are the words of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. Now I just want to put in front of you one example that is there in the seerah that will tell you the character of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, that how truthful Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala was. Kitne sachche Hazrat Umar the. On one occasion, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that none of you are people of complete iman until I am beloved to you than even yourselves, than even your own nafs, yourself. Now all Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an had to do was to stay quiet and to listen to what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. But no. A man who's always searching for the truth, a man who will always want the truth, this was his nature. So he was quite stunned by the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is now thinking, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you more than my family, I love you more than my possessions, I love you more than my children and anything else in this dunya. But I'm not sure if I love you more than myself. What is he saying? I don't know. There was no need for him to say this in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nor did Allah's Rasul talk to him directly. It was a general khutbah that he gave. But he stops everything and he goes to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, you know what? Subhanallah, I really don't know what the issue is here. And he said that, let me verify. And he went home and he started actually doing muraqabah and deep thinking that, do I love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than myself? And this is required from every Muslim. That more than your own eyes, your ears, your organs, your body, yourself, who you are, Muhammad, Abdullah, Yusuf, whatever, that you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than your cars, your houses, your properties, your bank balance, your wealth, your children, your parents, up, down, all your relations, everything in this dunya, the only person that is left is myself. Even more than yourself, we are to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is called iman. That is called iman. So khair, anyway, he came back the next day and he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, now I can give you a guarantee that I love you even more than myself. I love you even more than myself. And so here we see how the character of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was. That even when he was not a Muslim, he was always wanting the truth and searching for the truth. And there are only a few companions that the scholars have mentioned that their opinions and the views they had, the Quran was revealed in agreement to what their opinion was, in agreement to what their views were. One of them is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. So many masail and ahkam that he gave his mashwara to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and immediately Allah Pak would reveal that as a ruling. And this was the mashwara given to him by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. See, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never confirm anything until it is confirmed in the form of revelation. Because he was a Nabi. So he would give mashwara, Allah's Nabi would say, wait. And so Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala and now going back to his time 1400 years back. He said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, there is too much fitna out there. And my mashwara is that women should wear hijab and come out. Women should wear hijab and come out. So that they should cover their bodies in such a way that the shape of the body is not revealed. And modest dressing. And so hijab should be maintained. Why, my respected brothers? Jazakallah, Yunus. It was getting a bit dark here. Jazakallah. And you see, the biggest fitna for the people of Iman is in the form of a woman. The most beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the women that Allah has created. Most beautiful creation. There is no one more beautiful than a woman in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for my ummah, there is great fitna for them in two things. People love two things. People love money or honey. What? Money or honey. And you can divide humanity in this. Some people love money so much that they are not bothered with honey. Honey kya? What honey are we talking about, Umar sahab? Huh? A woman. And some people are so addicted to honey that bas honey hi chahiye, nothing else. And it is this honey and money that can destroy a person totally. Totally. It's like a plane landing without wheels. That's how dangerous it can be. So most of the fitna and the problems that you see out there is because you will see how much of nudity is there. How the concept and the concept of fashion, the concept of dressing up is so different by the day. Subhanallah. That someone just before namaz was telling me that in London, is it this weekend, a group of people are going to ride bicycles naked. What are they? Men and women. Because now COVID rules and restriction is closed. So like you have the marathon, they are going to have like a marathon for bicycle riding. Ab jana mat ha Saturday ko wahan. Kahenge Mauli sahab talked about honey. Let's go and see. No, no, no. You might not see honey there. You might see the opposite of the honey there. So everybody is going to ride a bicycle completely naked. Oh, now what is the pleasure in riding bicycle naked? I don't know. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the problem, you see, my respected brothers. Now Umar ibn al-Khattab in his time is saying that we should have women that should cover hijab. Now imagine now 2021, how difficult it is. That is why, mashallah, I say the people who are working in a mixed environment and still have the control not to look and not to do guna, their position is greater than the Shaykhul Hadith of the time. Their position is higher than the Shaykhul Hadith of the time. The person who's teaching Hadith. When you look after yourself in that very open environment for the pleasure of Allah, wallahi, your status is very high. Very, very high, mashallah. So immediately the revelations were revealed that said to the Muslim women that they should cover themselves and when they go out, dress modestly in loose garments. Jalabib, the Quran says. يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن. That they should wear the jilbab when they go out. And jilbab means an orni that covers from the front, and when they go out, it's covering them totally. That is called an orni. What is it? So traditionally, that is what we call. So when they go out, there's a whole orni that is there, like a covering. And he was also a man, after embracing Islam, before in Arabia, the pleasure for the men folks was drinking alcohol, including Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But when Islam came, he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he gave mashwara and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would be nice if alcohol became haram in Islam. If alcohol became haram in Islam. And in a sequence of revelation, a few ayats that came, but eventually that verse also came down, which made alcohol haram. And he also gave mashwira that, O Nabi of Allah, Maqam-e-Ibrahim, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, what a great Nabi he is. As a source of barakat, we should also make this area a point where we should pray namaz wa nawafil Maqam-e-Ibrahim. A masjid just to perform salah there, in that area. Then the verses were revealed, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى. So many verses. Battle of Badr, the captives that were taken as prisoners, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken mashwira from people, what should you do, what should you do? Some people said, okay, give them a chance and next time we will see. They said to Hazrat Umar, what do you think is the mashwira? He says, if you ask me, we need to slay all of them. What should we do? Finish them all. Because they came against you, O Nabi of Allah, and there is every possibility if you leave them, then they will come back and retaliate and take revenge again. Khair, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a verse of the Quran was revealed, that the best mashwira was given to you was the mashwira of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Verses were revealed. And something amazing happened in Medina Munawwara, where you had the munafiqeen that were living, the hypocrites. Ubay bin Salul's son, Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala an, was a Muslim. He was a Muslim. And when his father died, who was the leader of the hypocrites, he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pleading, O Nabi of Allah, there is no najat for my father, but maybe something can be done to alleviate the difficulty of the hereafter. O Nabi of Allah, why don't you come and make dua for him, like janaza salah, make dua for him. Now no ayats were revealed to Huzur alayhi salam restricting him from this. And the son even requested something more, Nabi of Allah, maybe, you know, at the end of the day he was my father, and I know your kurta is a source of shifa. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when in Medina Munawwara people were ill and they would not feel well, in the Shama'il it is mentioned, that they would come and she would take the kurta of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she would soak the sleeves of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in water. The kurta she had, and soak it, the sleeves, and would give that water to drink to the maris. And she says, instantly they were cured. Instantly they were cured. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, you know, maybe one of your kurta can be given to my dad as we bury him. The hereafter, what will happen? Just to put the kurta as a kafan, just slight covering. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's quality that Allah gave him is that the overwhelming part of Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the rahmat element that was in him. As Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. It was an embodiment of mercy. The main feature of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmat. So anyhow to help someone or to make someone happy, he says, no problem. So he gave his kurta. Now when Allah's Nabi was giving so much concession to this man, and the son was a Muslim, the father was the leader of the hypocrites, Umar ibn al-Khattab couldn't contain himself. Came, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a kafir, a munafiq, and you are going to make dua for him, O Nabi of Allah. On top of that, you have given kurta. O Nabi of Allah, my opinion is that you don't do this. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umar ibn al-Khattab, my Allah has not categorically refused me from this action. There is no verses, so. But immediately the ayats were revealed that you are not to stand up in ikram for a person who dies in the state of kufr. That is why Mufti Shafi Saab in Ma'ariful Quran has written a lot of tahqiq that if someone who is a ghair Muslim who has passed away, can we attend the funeral and the things that they do there? And so this is a different topic. And in this ayat-e kareema, tashreeh, tafsir, Hazrat Mufti Saab has written this. So anyway, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abstained, and of course, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an's view here was also taken into consideration. So this man was a very great man. Also on one occasion, the khidmat of the Qur'an that he did, that many of the Huffaz and the Qurra were martyred. And subhanallah, the intelligence given to him, he came to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and he says that you have seen the Huffaz have been martyred. And if many Huffaz of the Qur'an, Huffaz at that time were not Hafiz of the Qur'an, they were ulama, but they were known as the Huffaz. If they are going to be martyred, then we have to do something. He says, what do you want me to do? He says that we need to preserve the Qur'an in a book format. In a book. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said that something that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do, I did not have the himmat to do. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an insisted and was telling him, no, believe me, you are the Amir, let's do it. He says, Hazrat Umar opened my heart and for the first time the verses of the Quran were collected and some formatting was done, subhanallah, in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And this was the khidmat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And from amongst the companions, a lot of the dreams that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had was with regards to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. On one occasion in one dream, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was sleeping and I saw a dream. And in my dream I could hear the footsteps of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala in Jannah. And in Jannah I saw this beautiful palace. This palace was so beautiful that I thought this palace was mine. I thought this palace was mine. Now imagine how beautiful it must be that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought that this palace is mine. So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam said to him that no, this palace is not yours. This palace belongs to your companion Umar ibn al-Khattab. Says, oh, this palace belongs to him. And Allah's Nabi says that I could see the Hure'een that were looking after this palace doing wudu. So when I saw the Hure'een and it was told to me that the house, the palace belongs to Umar ibn al-Khattab, I quickly turned away my face. I quickly turned away. Halaki for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no hijab and this is a dream of course. And he says, the reason I turned away because of the ghira, the ghairat of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And he was a very sensitive man. Very sensitive man. Today that sensitivity we don't have. People talk to your wife dresses up how she wants, hundreds of people looking at her, admiring her. The husband, not even a twitch. Nothing happens to him. No ghairat, there's no ghairat. But Hazrat Umar was a man of ghaira, sharm. And in those days, people maintained parda once the hijab ayat was revealed. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I know of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and his character, so I turned away. And I was even asked that, do you want to see his house? And I said, no, women are inside. What are they? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an ki ghar ki aurte hai bhai, jannat ki hure hai. Now imagine, this dream was mentioned in front of the companions and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was there. If it was you and I, and someone says, oh, I saw you in a dream and I saw your palace and this and that, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, you know, one would think that you would want to boast in front of the companions, oh, my Nabi saw my house in Jannah. But on the contrary, look at the humility of this great man. He started to cry. Allah's Nabi is giving him glad tidings of Jannah and he is, look at the love they had for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look how much Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant to them. That put Jannat on one side, for them the real Jannat was the Nabi. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, can you ever think that I would have ghairat upon you? Would I have ghairat upon you? That you didn't come and enter the house? And he started to cry. But look at these individuals, how they were incredible people. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a dream that he is drinking milk. And when he is drinking milk, milk is actually coming out from his body between the fingers. So there was milk that was coming out from his fingers. And the one who was drinking from the fingers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the milk that was coming out from his body inside, was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an interpretation that this is knowledge. Milk is knowledge. That Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala has been given this knowledge by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much knowledge. But remember, talking about so much virtue, it does not mean that his ranking was higher than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Second after him. What is it? Second after him. The virtue of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is on one side. And the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is on one side. All of them were great people. And on one occasion, ladies wanted to have a meeting with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a group of women came. On Masla, they were talking. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received them. They were all talking. And, you know, women, when they talk, sometimes it's a bit loud. So some of the women were talking a bit loud in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was listening to them. And someone knocked on the door. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired, who wants to come? Because Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Umar. Who is it? Umar. When the group of women found out it is Umar who wants to come, they were hiding behind Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some behind the curtain, some here and some this way and Some would put a scarf in totally like this covered. We don't want to even be in front of him. So when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an came in, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was laughing, smiling. Because he looked at what happens immediately. That these women put themselves in this position. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an gave dua to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many times we see people smiling, but do we give this dua? So he said, أضحك الله سنك يا رسول الله. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you smiling all the time, O Nabi of Allah. Azan kitne baje hai Muhammad sir? 37 bas. May Allah give you, keep you smiling all the time. And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes you smile? He says, you know Umar, the women were talking to me loudly and informally and talking to me. The minute you came in, they hid away. And he got angry. And he looked at the women and started to shout at them, you have no haya, you have no shame. I am the servant of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am the khadim, who am I? Why are you scared of me? Why do you do this? So one lady also retaliated. Wo bhi zara hot tempered ki thi. You know how you are, you get angry, we'll say anything, you really get angry. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became very quiet. And now Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intervened and he said something amazing. He says, no, my Umar, Allah has made him such that the path and the streets Umar ibn al-Khattab walks, shaitan is scared of him and does not walk on that street. That was quite natural, this personality. This is where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that shaitan does not walk where Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an walks. And why? Ulama say that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was in the habit 24 hours they would do the zikr of Allah. Never an opportunity was given to shaitan to come and influence this great human being. So khair, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, they are our heroes, my respected brothers. Subhanallah. We should learn about the Sahaba, study the life of the companions. Incredible people who loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By their barakat, we have Islam today. And so even Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an was made shaheed in the month of Muharram. We should all take out time and recite Yasin Sharif or one para of the Quran or two paras of the Quran and do Isali Sawab to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, and also to Umar ibn al-Khattab and to the Ahl Bayt, those that were martyred in Karbala. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.